Ladies and gentlemen, we are speaking to you from the corridor in the courthouse. In just a few moments, we'll enter the courtroom for today's case of Order in the Court.
Miss Brent, you say you held a position in a brokerage house?
Yes, sir, out in the city in Indiana.
It was a fairly responsible position, you have told us.
Yes, sir. You see, I was compelled through financial necessities to go to work when I was 16. I got a job as telephone operator and took a commercial course at night. Soon I was promoted, and at 21, I was secretary to Mr. Harvey, the head of the firm. I was able to save a few $100s, and in October 1929... Mr. Harvey suggested that I speculate and sell short. I did, and eventually I made several $1,000s profit. Well, naturally, there was a boy in whom I was interested. His people had lost everything in the market crash, and, well, by this time I'd been promoted and had an assistant, Helen Kerrigan, a girl I'd known since we were kids. In fact, she'd always been my best friend. Well, one day, Helen and I were in my office, and the phone rang.
Hello? Yes, just a moment. It's for you, B.
Oh, thanks, Helen. Hello? Oh, hello, Justin. Well, yes, I did leave word for you to call me. Well, no particular reason. I just had a couple of tickets given me for the show at the Majestic tonight, and I thought if you didn't have a date, maybe you'd like to go along. Oh, swell. Well, do you want to stop by for me? About 8:15? All right. All right, I'll see you then. Bye. Well, I guess I better pitch in and get this report out of the way.
I suppose when they gave you those tickets, they wrapped them up in pink ribbons.
Oh?
Listen, Bea, I saw you go into the Majestic box office at lunchtime today.
All right, what if I did?
Only that... Listen, Dee, why do you let that guy sponge off you like that? I know you bought those tickets.
Is that a crime? At least I didn't steal them.
Dee, for Pete's sakes, I don't want to say anything catty, but this last year, you're falling for that guy. Take a tip from a gal who knows. Don't be honest.
Aren't you being rather presumptuous, Helen?
Okay, I'm being presumptuous. Has anybody got a better right? Unless maybe it's your mother.
Yes, I know.
Honest, Dee, I don't know what's gotten into you. You've always been a smart girl.
Maybe too smart.
Well, I don't know exactly what you mean by that, but if you call turning a few $100s into almost $10,000...
I was smart about that. Mr. Harvey said sell short, and I did what he said. I suppose Mr. Harvey was smart. But I wasn't thinking about that. I'm thinking about... Oh, puppies are talking about it.
You think he's as wonderful as all that? You know darn well he isn't. This isn't the first time I've heard a phone conversation similar to that one a moment ago.
I've got work to do, Helen.
Now listen, you. Justin Hatter's a sponging, mooching no good, and you're a sap to be playing around with him. To say nothing of spending your dough on him.
Did you ever stop to think, Helen, that there might be some things in this world that you don't know anything about? I mean, Justin isn't like his father. Justin's ambitious. He wants to study medicine, to be a doctor.
It's easy to say you're ambitious.
Oh, can't you ever stop being cynical?
I mean it, darling. What's he ever done to prove he's ambitious? He hasn't been any shining light out at the university, except at dances, maybe. And since his old man lost all his money, who's been seeing to it that Justin gets around? You and Marion Douglas. All right, don't look so pained. You know he's out with her as much as he is with you. And I'd be willing to bet she pays his way just the same as you do. Of course, being Marion Douglas, she can afford it. Listen, Bea, give Justin to Marion. Let her have him. They're two of a kind. They're just exactly...
If you don't mind, Helen, I've got work to do.
Okay, darling. Okie dokie.
And there do happen to be a great many things that you don't understand. What are you worried about, Justin?
Oh, nothing. You want me to start up the car and go on back to town?
Oh, no, that's not just yet. Something is worrying you, Justin. It was worrying you all through the show. You weren't paying any attention to it.
Well, I suppose I have got a few minor worries. Suppose you'd always been used to having everything you wanted, and then your father became ill, and the crash came, and you lost everything.
Well, my folks never had anything to lose.
Well, how come you ever bother with a guy like me, anyhow? Buy tickets to shows and tell me somebody gave them to you? You're not fooling me, you know. Where's my pride, huh? Well, you won't have to do it much longer. I'm going to work next month. I'll be earning money.
You're going to work?
Sure.
Well, what about your medical course?
Forget it.
Oh, no, Justin, no, you can't do
it. I've got a job as chemist in the research department out at the Douglas Paint Company.
I see.
You'll pay me enough so I won't have to sponge any longer, at least. Maybe I can even help Dad and Mother out a little.
I suppose Marion had something to do with that.
Well, she put in a good word to her father, but what the heck? I did all right in chemistry at the university.
Yes, I know. Justin, don't take that job.
Would you rather I dug ditches?
What do you really want to be, Justin? A chemist or a doctor?
Oh, don't be silly, Bee. There's no choice.
A doctor, don't you?
Forget it, will you?
Justin, people endow colleges and they endow hospitals and churches. And not so long ago, they used to endow people. I'd like to endow you. I believe in you, Justin. I believe in what you can do. I don't want you to lose your own belief in yourself, to lose your ambitions.
Would you mind very much if I kissed you, Bee?
I've never minded before, have I?
Darling. You do know I love you, don't you? I do.
If you're saying that because of what I've just said...
I've loved you for a long time, and you know it.
Oh, Justin. Well, do what I ask, Justin. Don't give up your medical course. Go on and go to Chicago next month.
No, darling.
But, Justin, you've got to. If you really do love me, you'll let me do this. I've got the money. You can consider it a loan if you want to. What difference does it make? If two people love each other, can't they help one another?
You love me, Beatrice.
I'll never be able to love you anymore. Not even when you're the most famous doctor in the world.
Oh, come in, Mother.
Well, aren't you going to work this morning?
Well, I thought I'd be a little bit late.
Oh, I see. Oh... Did you have a letter from Justin this morning?
The postman hasn't come by yet.
Oh, so that's why you're waiting.
Well, it doesn't matter if I'm out at the office until 10. Mr. Harvey doesn't mind.
I guess I still can't get used to you new girls. Who'd ever thought I'd have a daughter who'd be a businesswoman? And a successful one at that.
Didn't you think very highly of your daughter, Mother?
I never expected anything like this.
Well, what did you expect?
For one thing, I expected her to get married.
Well, I'm engaged, aren't I?
We didn't stay engaged for 3 years when I was a girl.
In fact, when you were a girl, nothing was the same as it is now.
When are you and Justin going to get married?
Oh, someday.
Someday.
Well, after all, Mother, he only graduated from medical school last June. Now he's got to go through his internship. After that, well, then... Oh, I'll go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, thank you.
You got your letter from Justin? Well?
Oh, it's even better than a letter from Justin this morning, Mother.
Did you make some more money in the market?
I've got a new job.
And what do you want with a new job?
A job in Chicago with Paris and Fraser, one of the biggest brokerage houses there. They'll pay me as much as Mr. Harvey pays me. And now I can be near Justin.
So that's the letter you were waiting for.
Oh, won't he be surprised when I tell him?
Mr. Harvey?
Oh, no, Justin.
What about Mr. Harvey?
Oh, he knows I'm going to quit there sooner or later anyhow.
I see.
Oh, now, I've got it all planned out, Mother. Now, you can ask Aunt Lucy to come and live with you. She'll love it. And you can put up with her for a while, can't you?
I suppose so.
Oh, of course you can, darling. And I'll send you a check every week and take care of the rent and everything just like that, as I always have. Now, you won't mind if I go, will you?
What good would it do if I said I would mind?
Oh, Mother.
When I was a girl, mothers told their daughters what to do. Daughters didn't tell their mothers.
Oh, I tell you, darling, this is swell having you up here in Chicago so we can see each other oftener than once every 6 months or so. This little apartment you've got is just about perfect. Hey, how do you like them, darling? I mean, George and Winnie. They're swell people, aren't they?
Well, they seem to be, Justin. Of course, I only met them an hour ago.
Well, now, you wait till you get to know them. George, particularly. Boy, has he been swell to me. Coached me on exams. Lent me a few bucks every now and then to tide me over. The guy's brilliant, B. He's a genius. Not one of these scintillating geniuses, you understand, but the sort that always knows 10 times as much as you think he does.
And Winnie?
Oh, Winnie's okay. Of course, she's young, just a probationer, but she's a nice kid, a lot of fun. She'll make a good nurse someday.
Is George in love with Winnie?
Darling, if that guy was in love, I wouldn't know it, nor you nor anybody. He's a past master at concealing his emotions, that boy. And does it take with the women? They all want to understand him, you know, find out what goes on behind that brain of his. Oh, well, it's about time we had some more cocktail.
Get the olives open.
You expect me to believe that? Well, here you are, B.
No more for me, thanks.
Oh, just one.
No, thanks, really,
Justin. Oh, well, okay. Here's regard.
Oh. He's looking at you.
Now, who's got a cigarette?
I just smoked my last one.
Now, don't look at me. I don't use the filthy things.
Well, I know B hasn't. Well, looks like I'll have to take a run down the corner. Want to go, Winnie?
Sure.
Okay, you won't need a hat. I guess it's safe to leave you here with me, George.
You know my rule. Never guess. Always make sure.
Well, I'll take a chance on that. Come on, Winnie.
Coming,
Justin. Nice apartment you have here, Miss Brent.
Well, I like it, thanks. Oh, what are you smiling about?
You know, you don't look like this brilliant businesswoman Justin's been telling me about who makes thousands of dollars by just saying American telephone go down and American telephone go up.
Well, Justin's been exaggerating.
Well, I wondered about that. Sounded too much like that kid game we used to play. You know, Simon says thumbs up and Simon says thumbs down.
Well, sometimes Simon says wiggle waggle.
Well, what's Simon saying just now?
Well, thumbs up, wouldn't you say?
Meaning you're happy to be here in Chicago, of course.
Of course, and happy to meet you. Justin thinks you're one of the grandest men in the world.
Really?
Yes. He's doing awfully well, isn't he? In his work, I mean.
Justin? Oh, yes. Yes, awfully well. What is it? There's something on your mind, isn't there? Something you want to ask me.
But are you a mind reader?
Not exactly.
All right, I think, in as much as you and Justin are such friends, I can be frank with you.
I wish you would.
Well, you see, Justin does drink quite a lot, doesn't he?
Well, then again, his work at the hospital is beyond reproach. He's an excellent surgeon. He has
all... What is that you just picked up?
That? Well, that seems to be a package of cigarettes. I guess Justin didn't notice he'd laid them down over there.
Change your mind, you two. Come on in for another dip.
Oh, the water's too cold for me, Justin.
And it's too wet for me, old man. But don't mind us. Go ahead and have your fun, if you call it that.
Okay. Come on, Winnie.
I'll race you.
You're tired, aren't you?
Do I show it so plainly?
A little.
How in the world did they ever call anyone as frank as you, George?
It'd be easier to fool you, my dear. What's the matter? Your little game of financial thumbs up not going so good?
Oh, it's all right, I suppose.
Which, of course, means it isn't. Listen, Bee, when are you and Justin going to get married?
I don't know. Soon, I suppose.
We finish our internship in 5 months.
I know. Of course, we'll have to wait until Justin makes the sort of connection he wants.
Did he say that, or are you saying it? All right. You don't have to answer. Do you know what I'd do if I were you? I'd go to Justin and I'd say, Justin, darling, tomorrow you and I get married. We've waited 5 years, and that's long enough for a girl to wait. Now you're sore.
You can't prescribe for human emotions the same way you can for physical ailments, George.
You can be just as frank about them, can't you? You don't put blinders on when you study a financial report, do you? Or maybe you're losing your perspective there, too. Are you?
Oh, I don't know what I'm doing, George. Please stop making me think.
That's the one thing you'd better begin doing. Well, here they come. Shall we go meet them?
So I wondered, Mr. Fraser, if the firm could make me a loan.
So you've been selling short.
Yes, I thought the rise had gone as far as it could without at least a technical setback.
And that was your idea.
Yes, sir.
Miss Brent, for women like you, the bridge table is a much better place to gamble than the stock market. You had a lucky break, and that, according to you, through the advice of Mr. Harvey. And now you think you're an authority.
Oh, please, Mr. Fraser, I don't think that at all.
The best thing you can do is to take your loss and get out.
But it'll take all the money I've got.
Well, the firm can't make you a loan to cover your margin.
I see.
It came easy. It's gone easy. Let it be a lesson to you. You've got a good position. Naturally, we hope you'll keep it.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Fraser.
Not at all. Good day.
Good day.
See me about?
It's about a life insurance policy I hold in your company.
Oh, have you got the policy with you?
Yes, sir. I have it right here.
All right. What about it?
Well, it's for $10,000. The beneficiary is my mother. I want to change it so that my mother will be the beneficiary of $5,000 of it, and Mr. Justin Hatter, the beneficiary of the other $5,000.
I see. All right. If you'll just sit there, I'll get some blanks for you to fill out, Mr.
Justin, please don't drink any more tonight. I want to talk to you, darling.
Yeah? What about?
Well, several things.
Well, before you start in, could you be a sweet girl and lend me a 10 bottle next week?
I suppose so, but Justin...
Yeah?
I'm going to have to give up this apartment, darling.
Yeah? Why?
I've lost all my money, Justin.
You've what? Good Lord.
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. I just took the wrong side of the market. And, well, it's all gone.
Why in the world did you keep on playing it? You had enough?
Well, you see, my expenses had been rather heavy and taken a little more for you.
Yeah, yes, I know. Well, I told you long ago I wasn't anything but a heel.
Oh, now stop it, darling. We can still make out all right. You'll be finished at the hospital before long, and I've still got my salary. And, well, if anything should happen to me, darling, I've changed my insurance, so you'll get half.
Oh. All right, you'll just change it right back again.
But why? It's just in the event of an emergency. Now, you have to send your folks a little money, and you've got to finish your internship.
Yes, that's true. But for you to do a thing like that...
But, darling, I want to. And we are going to be married, aren't we?
Certainly.
Then let's make it soon.
Okay, whenever you say. Just as soon as I'm finished at the hospital.
We couldn't make it any sooner.
Well, we could, but...
Oh, no, never mind. That's soon enough, darling. But then for sure, huh? Oh, Justin, take me in your arms and tell me... Just tell me you love me.
Well, sure, I love you. Yeah, of course I do. But, darling, why don't you want to go? We'll have fun. George will be there and Winnie and the whole crowd. What's the matter with you?
Oh, I don't know, Justin. I'm just tired, I guess. I don't feel very well. Why don't you go on and go? Honestly, I just couldn't.
Yeah, you know the trouble with you? You're run down. You need a tonic.
Yes, I suppose I do.
Of course, I'm not licensed to prescribe as yet, but if you're willing to trust me, I think I know just the thing for you.
Why, of course I trust you, Justin.
And if you'll wait here while I run back to the hospital, I'll get something for you. And after you take it for a few weeks, you'll feel like a different person.
All right, Justin. And you will go on without me tonight, won't you?
Well, we'll see. We've got to get you feeling better first. That's the main thing right now.
Come in. Oh, hello, George.
What's the matter with you?
Oh, I'm just playing invalid for the evening.
Justin not here?
No, he had to be on duty tonight. He said he might drop by around 11 for a few minutes.
Oh, I see.
Oh, heavens, it's almost that now. Must have been asleep.
You look like you might be running a temperature.
Well, I don't feel any too good. I haven't been for a couple of weeks. I haven't been able to go to work since Monday.
Oh, no?
No. Justin gave me a tonic to take. Oh, say, it's time for another dose, come to think of it. Would you mind getting it for me? George, you'll find it in a brown bottle in the bathroom.
Okay.
Thanks.
This is?
Yes, that's right. I take a spoonful and a glass of water.
How long did you say you'd been taking this?
Oh, about 2 weeks now, I guess.
Well, I think we'll change the prescription.
What are you doing, George?
Oh, just going to take this back and save it for another patient.
Oh, Justin.
Hello, B. Well, what are you doing here, George?
Oh, just dropped by.
I see. What's that you just put in your pocket?
Just the tonic you gave B.
You give that back to me.
Oh, no.
You will or I'll...
You won't.
Oh, Justin, George, stop it.
If you give me that bottle or I'll kill you.
Well, at least you'll never poison me.
That isn't poison.
Oh, no.
Give me that.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
There. I'll prove anything. It's broken. Let's see you prove anything.
How is she, Doctor?
She's going to be all right.
Thank God. May I go in and talk to her for a minute?
Why, I suppose so. Why not?
Thank you.
Hello, George.
Hello, B. The doc tells me you'll be out playing tag in another week.
Yes, that's what he told me. Justin was in this morning.
Yeah? Hmm.
He wants another chance.
Don't give it to him.
He says he thought the tonic could do me good.
That's a lie, B.
He says you're going to keep him from getting his license.
I most certainly am.
Oh, please don't, George, for me.
Well, I'd do almost anything for you, Bee, but that...
Oh, please, George, please. If he did make a mistake, please don't ruin his whole life, his whole career, his future, our future.
You're going ahead and marry him?
Yes.
Oh, Bee, don't. Don't.
But he has been worried. He hasn't been himself. He stopped drinking now. And he wants us to be married as soon as I'm well. Oh, please, never say anything to anybody, George. Please. There's my problem. George said he'd come here with me and that we'd leave it to you. I love Justin, Your Honor. I think I've proved it. I want to marry him.
The court in this case will side with you, Mr. Ledge. I feel as you do, that if, in your opinion, Justin Hatter did attempt to slowly poison his fiancée, that information should be submitted to the proper authorities.
And as for your marrying Justin Hatter, Miss Brent, I am convinced that you would be making a serious mistake. The man has in no way justified your faith in him.
We are once again talking to you from the corridor as the courtroom is emptying. We hope that you'll join with us again when we return for the next session of Order in the Court.